we are going to be looking at some very important disciplines. And for our Christian living. And one of the things I want to say is that many times we are concerned about many external things, and as much as important as the Christian walk is, on a very general note, where we have general programs, we have activities, we have prayer sessions where we pray together, we have meetings that we have, and then it might get some people confused as to some of the very important things that they need to pay attention to. So as awesome as our Christian walk is, not forsaking the gathering of the saints, ground and pillar of truth, where we all learn God's word, we all pray congregationally, we all have sort of like a unity of the spirit. All these things are good, but watering the Christian experience down is a personal walk with God. And many times, it's from this personal walk with God that gives us much strength to collectively gather as a people. So you will find out that some people are more interested in just having a showcase of their Christian walk with God. But they also forget that as much as their Christian walk with God is, you know, to be enjoyed on a general note, there is also a personal side where the believer ought to pay attention to that personal walk he has with God. So as important as having a general flow in the body is to be knowledgeable of the fact that there is a personal walk with God. And every believer must strive for this. Everyone must strive for this. So you can't keep soaring on the wings of congregational prayer every time. And you can't keep soaring on the wings of congregational worship every time. Much to the gatherings that we share, the very core of it is more personal. So you can't keep dwelling on only times where the church prays. The times where the church prays is only a fraction, a little fraction. So you must now begin to build a personal relationship and a personal walk with the Lord. It's so essential to be despised. The moment we find that you're not doing this, what you should actually be doing congregationally becomes not too significant, because much more than having a very general flow, is a very personal experience with God. So at a point in time, Paul is teaching certain disciples and he comes back and he realizes that they are still being taught as students, and he's wondering, you ought to be teachers by now. It means that there was supposed to be a personal growth on their side, where they can be able to now do the work of the ministry. And he was expecting some growth from them. In Peter's writing, in his second letter, he says, "Now desire sincerely the milk of the word of God, that ye may grow thereby." So the Christian ought to desire growth. But much to that growth is a very personal relationship and a very personal walk with God. So as good as your Christian experience is with, you know, the group, with your friend, you say, "I'm going to pray. So let the two of us go and pray. Oh, let the two of us pray on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." That's great. That's wonderful. But aside the group prayers that you have, there must be a personal relationship that you have with God. And so for the few days we have, we're going to be looking at one of the very core Christian disciplines. Personal, core Christian disciplines is quiet time. Quiet time. So we're going to be looking at my quiet time and I. Is that a good one? My quiet time and I. Not many people understand what it means to have a quiet time. So you could grow, have a very good church-going life, and then struggle on knowing Jesus and having to experience on a personal level. That's what you, when others are going to church, is when they call you. You see, you never get up to go to church on your own. You never wake up and you say, "I'm going to pray on my own." Or you never say, "I'm going to study on my own." So there's a need to understanding this and walking in it. So we're going to be looking at the title, My Quiet Time and I. So we're just going to be looking at it very casually, simply. Just trying to play around what it means to have. And many times, not many people understand what it means to have a quiet time. So I want to teach you how that you're going to have a quiet time and what it means to have a quiet time. So in what we call a quiet time is that time, you know, contextually, in a Christian context, it's a dedicated period, okay? Dedicated period of personal prayer. So it means that during your quiet times, you're going to be praying. So a dedicated period of personal prayer. Reflection. So you're going to be praying during a quiet time, or you're going to be having certain reflections or meditation. So when you have a quiet time, you are going to be meditating, or you're going to be reading your Bible. So you're going to be Bible reading. So during these times, what we call a quiet time, these are the activities that will encompass having a quiet time. Right? So you're going to set some time to actually have a connection with the Lord. Many times we are distracted throughout the day, throughout every season. So we hardly have a time where we can actually say that, okay, this is the time where I'm going to be connecting with the Lord. It means that I'm going to be having a dedicated period of personal study, of personal prayer, of reflection, of meditation, of Bible reading. It's a time where we set aside where we'll connect to the Lord. We're going to listen to His voice. And we're going to train ourselves to be in tune with His plan for our lives. So it's called a quiet time because there is solitude that is needed. Right? There's solitude that is needed. There is an alone environment that is needed. So you're going to allow an uninterrupted communion with the Lord. During a quiet time, you could also be journaling. So you are writing something as you listen to God shooting words on your heart. You're also going to be reading God's word, reflecting on anything, His word especially, but His word as regarding anything. You're going to also take time to seek out wisdom and guidance from the Lord. So, it's going to be in that place of solitude. So by doing this, you will only get to realize that that personal relationship that Jesus wants to have with you begins to actually come alive. So not many believers practice and even believe in what I'm telling you right now. Many times during the day, 8 o'clock, you're off. 7, 10 o'clock, you have another something to attend to. 12 p.m., you are here. 7 p.m., all round the clock, I'm moving up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. When the Lord called Ananias, and Ananias answered, "Lord, I am here." I sometimes wonder, I heard this from a preacher. Also, I do wonder, hearing this from a preacher, he says that how many times has God called us? I think it was, he said, how many times has God called us and we didn't hear? Because we were busy with many things throughout the day. Where we never got time to say hello. We never got time to read His word. We never got time to talk to Him. We never got time to just be quiet and just be still. So we're always on the move. And that's how many times we miss out on God's word. We miss out on God's leading. We miss out on, you know, specific crucial leadings by the Holy Ghost on what He wants us to do. All of these things are entrenched in having a good quiet time. Sometimes we are confused about what step to take. We are thinking, what is there to do? What is next to partake of? You know, what is next to have our hands on? Oh, we don't know what to do. No, all of these things are hidden in your ability to spend time with God, where you will learn, read, journal, listen, right? Engage your thoughts in the concepts of God's word. So many times, we can cultivate a very rich relationship with God and develop a much deeper understanding for His will and His word for our lives. So it means that this will be providing us an opportunity to align our thoughts, our desires, our actions with God's plan and purposes. So many times we're expecting that God should have an audible voice, because when the Lord wanted to speak to the prophet, he says he came in an earthquake and there was a great shaking. And the Bible said, and yet still there was no voice in that earthquake. So many times we are thinking that God is going to show himself in a very strange way in our lives. Because many times we are looking for the spooky things. No. It's in the stillness and in the quietness that God speaks to us. That God makes real his plans, purposes, will, his pursuits for our lives much clearer in our hearts. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, I'm just going to show you a very quick scripture. 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse, let's start reading from around verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. The Lord was what? He was passing by. And a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. So the prophet will be thinking that, wow, the wind now is the voice of the Lord about to, how do you call it? To loudly thunder in the waves that the wind carry. But the Bible says that this wind was so strong enough that it break the pieces of the rocks. And Bible says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. You can imagine that when an earthquake, the whole place is shaking. And we're expecting God to speak from the earthquake. And Bible says that the Lord was not in that earthquake. After the earthquake, so right when there was a wind, such that it smote the rocks, break the rocks to against themselves, there was not the Lord. Then a shaking, then there was not the Lord. Then a fire. But the Lord still was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave and said, behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And the Lord said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord God said unto him, go, return unto the way of the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Look at such a discord that the Lord is having with the prophet. And we are expecting that there should be a thunderous voice, a shouting, earthquaking, building breaking, rock splitting kind of voice. Many times when we say the Lord spoke to me, you probably might be thinking, or somebody else is sitting somewhere and thinking, maybe it was something very loud and very audible. But he says, no, he was not in that voice, but rather he was in a still small voice. People of God, the still small voice, I can tell you a secret. You can easily miss it. Yeah. Because it almost looks insignificant and not too tangible enough. Yeah. But you will not miss it because you're going to learn to be quiet and to be still before the Lord. So many times it's just a small voice. Yeah. Even when you are prophesying, it's just a small voice in your heart. Yeah. And many times, when it's loud, you know, when you are experienced and you say, no, it's not this one. I know it too much. That voice doesn't make noise too much. It is very faint and quiet and almost negligible. Yeah, almost negligible. You can easily neglect it and say, this is not what I was expecting. I'm expecting to hear something. The still small voice. Now, we're not talking about God's voice or understanding how or learning how to hear the voice of God. But I'm just telling you how that quietness is directly relating to hearing the still small voice of the Lord. And many times, I believe that as you grow in remaining quiet and paying attention to the Lord and paying attention to His word, the voices that are in the world grow much fainter and less louder. And that still small voice becomes more real. So many times we are distracted by a whole lot of activities. Just get up. Oh my God, I have to leave now. Now that's not what I'm talking about. Because many of you probably might be caught up in such a schedule. But I can tell you, there must be a time where you will learn to be consistently quiet before the Lord. As you read His word, as you pay attention to His word, as you think on His word, as you journal the words that you see in His word. So many are weak and tired of their Christian walk because they never have a quiet time. God is speaking to them in the stillness of that voice, not in the fire. He's not in the rocky kind of earthquake. He's not even in the wind that can split out two rocks. Many times that's what we assume He should be. He's in the still small voice. That voice that is always telling you everything is going to be fine. Pay attention to my word. And you just say, everything is going to be fine. How is everything going to be fine? Because you're not paying attention. So let me not go ahead of myself. So with the quiet time, right? Many times that sacred practice that nourishes our soul. The soul is the mind. It feeds our mind with all of the strength we need for each passing day. With all of the boldness we need to step out and take other opportunities. With all of the health and vitality that God says we already have in Him, in Christ Jesus. So you are communing, having a communication with God. Your heart is open. You seek guidance. You seek wisdom from the Lord. You're asking what next step to take. You're praying in the Spirit. And remember, as good as having a very collective flow is, we as individuals must learn to have quiet times, solitary moments. Moments where we are in solitude. Places where there is not anybody jumping, throwing balls here and there, moving from here. We're just quiet and we are paying attention. And many times it serves as a source of strength and encouragement. So we're just going to look at this throughout the whole week. And I'm hoping that your quiet times are going to have some nourishings and refreshing. So you are doing this sacred practice. It's nourishing the soul. It's renewing the spirit. He's empowering you to live out with faith and with every purpose that God has spoken concerning your life. So learn to have a quiet time. So you're going to choose a time. I'm going to teach you that maybe tomorrow next, how to strategically have a quiet time. But tonight I'm just opening up what it means to have a quiet time. In fact, some of us, we literally jump from our bed to the bathroom in less than 20 seconds. Okay, maybe work is 11 something, or work is 8 something, or 9 some, or 9 or 10. And we just, okay, from my house to the workplace is 15 minutes. So, okay, means I can sleep to like 7:25. Then 7:25, you literally jump from your bed into the bathroom and then you bath for 2 minutes. So 7:25, by 7:35, you can get out of your house and you're on the road. The whole day you've not read a scripture. The whole day you've not thought about the scripture. When you come back from work too, instead of you to practice this, you realize that you sleep as soon as you come back again. So what are you doing with your personal times with God? And that's how come some people are afraid of almost everything that they encounter in life. See, when God speaks to you, you will know that He spoke to you. When God encourages you, you know that this is God encouraging me. So it is so essential that we learn to have a quiet time. It's the core of doing well in anything. Remember what instruction was written in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law will not depart from thy mouth, and you will meditate on it day and night. You will incline your ear to what the word of God is saying. Then you will have your way become prosperous. It means you will keep thinking about what God's word says. You will have times of solitude, times of silence, where you meditate on it and you observe everything that it's telling you to do according to all that is written in there. And then you will have prosperity. And also, not just prosperity, but you're going to have good success. So a quiet time is so necessary. A quiet time is so necessary. Where you are quiet, you are thinking, you are reading, you are in prayer, you are reflecting on your faith journey, you are asking, you are seeking wisdom, you are reading the word carefully and attentively. It's that time where you are still. When you take off your mind off work and how busy and engaging work has been. And you know, many times that's the flaw of many Christians today, is that they haven't built up the skill of having a concentrated mind or a concentrated mind on whatever it is they are doing in the moment. So I was speaking to someone, and I told the person, I said that, listen to me, you have to know what is priority to you as a believer. Because sometimes, even while we're having a quiet time, then you see that our mind is still on business. Our mind is still on one customer that we are supposed to deliver something to. Our mind is on what our boss, what assignment our boss gave us, and we're supposed to fulfill by 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So even right in that time of stillness and quietness is a raging noise on the inside of our souls. And I can tell you, until the soul has been trained to be still, it's very difficult to actually hear God, especially when there is a lot of turbulences. And you will only have this stillness in the quiet times, where you teach the soul, where the soul is function of the mind, the will, and then the emotions. So the mind comprises the soul, the will comprises the soul, the emotions comprise the soul. So you realize that when you actually are quiet, you know whether you have a quiet soul or you have a very noisy soul. You have a noisy soul when you know that you sit down to read the word of God and something your friend said is running through your mind. Something your auntie said is you just remembered. Oh, you just remembered one soccer match. Oh, you remembered it's now that you have to go and visit one auntie that said you should come. So you see, there's a kind of a rage and a distorted mind. That's the soul, is distorted. So even when God speaks to such a man who has such a soul, it becomes very difficult for him to hear God. But it's not difficult for you to hear God. You're going to hear him every single time. Every single time. He's going to lead you every single time. Every single time. You're going to have God's leading every single time. And you're going to be able to yield to it every single time. Because you will train yourself. So train yourself. When you start reading your Bible, and when you start speaking in tongues, and when you start having a quiet time, and when you're just quiet and reading, paying attention, just thanking God, just exalting his name, just thinking about how good he has been, journaling things, writing out things, you'll see that every time his voice is going to come to you in that stillness. Many times you even think you are the one manufacturing it, or you are the one thinking it, or you are the one having your mind go in that direction. Yeah. So you're going to build yourself in solitude. Train yourself. The first few instances or times, it's not going to be quite an interesting experience. But as you do it, you realize you always receive answers. You always know what to do. You always know what direction to take. You always know what path to make, or who to say yes to and who to say no to. You know what contract to pick. Because it is in that stillness and it's in that quietness that the Lord leads your heart in the right place. So we must take this very seriously. You know what to do when you have a consistent quiet time. You'll be at peace when you have a consistent quiet time. Because the voice of God to your heart in that stillness is peace. So everybody in this place is going to learn to have a quiet time. Say, Pastor, please, I leave for work early. Well, we must find a way. We have to find a way. We have to find a way. We have to find a way. Because many times the devil gets you by putting you in turbulence, causing you to be so busy. You are busier than God himself, creator of the universe. You are busier than him. So you're going to learn to have a quiet time. Solitude, quietness. You are thinking, reflecting. Remember, this book of the law shall not depart. Shall not depart. You tie them close to your hearts. You incline your ears to what his word is saying. You think on his word day and night. I'm going to teach you all of those in this sessions that we have. And you're going to be very great at knowing what to do every single time of your life. Yeah. You're just going to be led by God's Spirit in a very wonderful way. That's what I'm saying. Now, it's not everything that me, I don't know for other people, but it's not everything that I see in a vision. Some things I'm just led. Many times I don't even know why I'm doing those things. But the aftermath, I feel like, wow, if I hadn't done this thing, trouble. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I just went somewhere. That was around Spintex. And I was just going through my phone. And I just felt in my heart to call somebody, text her, get to her, reach her. And I've not heard it from this person in maybe 3 years. Or maybe even more. Maybe 2.5 or into 3 years. I've not heard from this person. Maybe I have the person's number. I've only seen the person's status. I'm just seeing it. I just get there and I feel like call this person. So I'm like, this is really strange. And the calling doesn't come to you like an audible voice, like you need to pick up your phone, call now. Sometimes it comes, call now, but sometimes it just comes to your heart. Like, when was the last time you spoke to this person? Just call this person. So I just picked my phone, texted, and then the person called. I said, hey, it's been a long time. I just wanted to hear from you. And the person said, oh, I've been around. And right now I'm even at Spintex. I said, where? Spintex? Which side of Spintex? You won't believe it. She was just close by me. So I was like, wow, wonderful experience. Amazing. That's how you escape troubles and traps and schemes set for you. You don't even know why you don't want to go there again, but you just don't go. And then you realize that there is something there that you shouldn't have been there at that point in time. So many times knowing what to do will be very, very, very much more consistent with somebody that has learned to quieten their souls, quieten their minds, so they can be in tune with what God is communicating to them. I shared this with quite a number of you, and I just was there one dawn, and I felt like paying attention to a scripture. So I was like, scripture, I don't want to deal with it right now. I'm already dealing with something, so let me just come back to it. And then, the thing will just come again. Like, it comes as a desire. But in that desire, there's also a natural resistance to that desire. So in my natural mind, I'm like, no, I don't have time. I have other things to cover. When I'm done, I'll come and cover it. Like, it was like a joke. So I just started curiously. It wasn't something I just started paying attention to the scripture, expounding on it. Did some other research, expounded on it. The next morning I went somewhere. Somebody walks to me, tells me that, please, I beg you, can you help me with the scripture? I opened this. The person mentioned the scripture. It was the same scripture I was dealing with at dawn. The same scripture. And oh, what joy filled his heart when light came to him. He couldn't believe that was where he was. He was just thankful. I was like, so, that is this what it means? I've been led 1,000 times, countless times. I'm just so grateful to God. But, yes, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. But he's going to do much, much, much better when you can learn to be quiet. There are times I was there, and I just felt in my heart, why don't you just be benevolent to this person? And I'm like, I don't think I would want to do this now. So I put the phone down and the thing keeps coming to me. I'm like, what is this? It's not an audible voice. It's not something you hear audibly in your ears. It just keeps lingering in your heart. So I just pick up the phone. I text the person and I send the person something. And then the person calls me and almost tearing. He says, man of God, right now as I speak to you, I'm standing at the bus station. I didn't have money to board a bus. And I was in tears. I was like, this is so beautiful. This is very beautiful. Like, the Holy Spirit is very amazing. So we're going to train ourselves to be like this. Learn to respond promptly as you go ahead on how to have a quiet time. You have these things. As you have a quiet time, they will start becoming more real to you. Yeah, it'll become more real to you. Where you're just quiet, you're thinking on the word. Many times you will need wisdom for the day. Wisdom on how to handle issues. Wisdom on what to do. Wisdom on what plan to take next. You're going to receive these things and these elements while you have your quiet time. You're going to hear God in the stillness of His voice. In your heart, there's going to be a soothing of what God is saying. Sometimes there just could be difficulty at home. And as you just be quiet before the Lord, He will speak to your heart. He'll tell you everything will be fine and everything is fine. And you will cling on to those words of faith. And you will say, the Lord told me. That's how we get up and we say, the Lord spoke to me. That's how we say it. Say, the Lord spoke to me. Say, when did the Lord speak to you? Say, while I was quiet, I could sense in my heart the voice speaking in my heart saying that this and this and this and this is what I should go and this is what I should do. The Lord spoke to me. I should embark on this business. The Lord spoke to me. I should not be here. The Lord spoke to me. I should leave here now. Yeah. I one time, left home, never locked my door. I went out. I was like, this is strange. In my heart, it's like, you need to go back now. As to why I need to go back, I can't tell. I can't explain. Because not every time are you seeing a vision or every time are you having a prophetic kind of open vision experience. Some things are just leadings of the Spirit. And you're going to learn to have these leadings as you go. Your relationships will be guarded by these leadings. Your business associates will be guarded by these leadings as you have a quiet time. The voice of God comes to you in clarity as you have a quiet time. As you spend time with the Lord, just being still and speaking in under tongues under your breath, or singing, or just praising the Lord, or reading the word, paying careful attention to the word, or sometimes even doing an extensive or an exhaustive study on God's word concerning a certain concept. You're going to be led by the Spirit as you have a quiet time. You're going to have wisdom come to you on how to expand, how to do well as you have a quiet time. As you just learn to be quiet before the Lord. And you read, you ponder. Solomon did this a lot. Many times that's why you hear him say, and I considered. That considering is an activity of the mind. That's still and paying attention to certain details of what God is saying. Hear me, make it a point to have this in your life. It can save you from a lot of trouble. Make it a point to build this in your life. You don't need to stand to have a quiet time. You only need to sit or to lie comfortably. As you think, as you sit, you study, you read, you try to expound. As you are quiet, you are thinking on God's word. You could just take a popular scripture, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You're thinking about it. What does a shepherd do? It means he watches, he cares, he tends. He is entirely responsible. Then you will hear the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you. He will say, I am responsible for you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that is an extensive preaching and teaching. But much more, much faith comes by hearing what God is saying exactly to you in an exact moment and in an exact situation. That's how faith will bubble up. That's how faith will bubble up. So while in the quietness and in the stillness, you said, the Lord is my shepherd. You hear it in your heart. Then I am responsible for you. I am tending for you. I am caring for you. And you will hear other words. Do not be afraid.
And things are going to be coming to you as you journal them, as you write them. They are going to be convincing words. Sometimes they are going to be cautions, beddings of the Holy Spirit. As you wake up, you feel like, this thing, I should be careful. I should be careful. And that's how you're going to walk out of anything that is connected to your shame, disgrace, you know, downfall, pit falling, whatever it is that we see, we hear many people make references to. I'm telling you, the believer is so armed with many mechanisms to skip any trap of the devil and be in God's plan every time, anywhere for the rest of their lives. But many times there's that turbulence. There's that busyness of the day. Activities here and there. Phones, WhatsApp, Facebook. You wake up, the first thing you do is to flip to Facebook. Now, I have been victims of this. Just wake up, what's happening on WhatsApp? What message do I have to reply to? Maybe I have to send a certain message to a certain page. Or I have to talk to so-and-so. I need to speak to so-and-so concerning this now. But you say, no, the phone can wait. Let me have that time with the Lord. The phone should wait. The phone can wait. The phone can wait. The WhatsApp messages can wait. The Facebook messages can wait. Let me have a very personal time with God where I'm quiet and I'm still and I'm reading and I'm thinking on.
And start practicing a quiet time. Start practicing it. You thank me. You say, wow. Because I want to thank you for teaching me how to have a quiet time.